The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. I think this is such a straightforward passage for us in terms of the moral lesson that we have to apply, that I'll say that up front and then work back a little bit through the passage. The moral lesson is that we do not live for ourselves. We must give ourselves away. And that's what we're made for. We're made to give ourselves away. I just remember a friend of mine whose dad, I don't know if he had the bumper sticker or not, but it was one of these, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Right, and I remember him saying that to me, and geographically it was about 2 miles that way. Right, seared into my memory. "He who dies with the most toys wins," and when he said it, this is how I remember it now. I felt really bad for him. Really bad for him, and as one of my priest friends likes to say, "You don't see a U-Haul following a hearse," right? You don't see U-Haul following a hearse. So, the idea is, let's say the bumper sticker for today is that our lives are about giving ourselves away. Okay, now, let's go back just a little bit here, because there's more going on in the scene than that. And it's quite an embarrassing scene for the apostles. And it's okay for us to see that in the scripture, just how wrong the apostles got it, right? Because then there's hope for us. There's hope for us too. They're following Jesus so closely, and yet they get it so wrong. On the way, they're discussing among themselves, who is the greatest? Can you imagine? I mean, my mom can imagine because she had 4 boys. Right? Because that's what we would do. But it's almost inconceivable to think of these 12 somewhat grown men talking about who's the greatest. What does it even mean? What would it even mean? And of course, some of it's wrapped up in what they've just confessed, what they've just really professed to Jesus and about Jesus, that he's the king. Okay, so if he's the king, then we also get some share in his rule. So it's not so much like being the greatest, who's the fastest, and all the rest, which I'm sure they would have loved too, but who gets the greater share of his kingdom? Who gets the greater share of honor and power, prestige, and so pleasure or security, whatever it is that their hearts wanted, in the same way that we want those things, I think, for our own security, to lock in our our self-worth, and all the rest. That's what they were going for. And Jesus turns their world upside down. He's come to turn our world upside down, but he has to turn even his followers' world upside down. And it's not enough to say, hey, you know, guys, like, you really shouldn't have that conversation. You know, that kind of semi-chastising teacher talk, like, you know, guys, you shouldn't really have that conversation. It's beneath you. And what? That's not what Jesus does. He undermines them more severely than that, and that's what the child is about. Child, I know, right? This is like earmuffs time or whatever, but a child in this world, child has no worth at all, except some in the family, but outside of the family, nothing. Yeah, there's no Disneyland in the ancient world. Like, people don't care about children. And I don't know where this child came from even, right? This could be like a street urchin, but I don't know. But Jesus takes this child, the lowest of the low on the totem pole in terms of respect and worth and the rest, and he embraces the child. And what does he say? Whoever receives this child, whoever receives one child such as this, in my name, receives me. So he's saying to his apostles, who know that their work, their glory, is receiving Jesus, whoever does this lowest of the low thing, which is welcoming this child of no worth, whoever does this receives me. Whoever takes the low road has my power and authority and my glory. Not even just yet, they're selected, right? The 12 are selected for a special task, and they enjoy closeness to Jesus. But if they get it wrong, they'll be low man on the totem pole. And someone who looks like they're doing a completely worthless thing in Jesus' name has all honor and glory and the rest. Why is that? Because this is not good advice. This is good news. It's not good advice. This is because Jesus, it is, who has taken the low road. Jesus is in front of us here when we walk into this church on the cross. That is the God of the universe. And there is no lower road than the one he takes there. And as close as we can get to imitating him with his power and strength. So I skipped a step, right? By taking the low road, he gives his life to us in such a way that it can, this life of self-gift, this life of self-forgetfulness, of living for the other, can be ours because he took this low road. And we receive that life in full measure the more we take the low road. That's the good news, is that we have been set free from our slavery to self. And we can, in Christ, live the humble life. And the humble life is where we will find life to the full. It's good news, right? It's not just good advice. We have power from Christ to do what we were always made to do, which is to live not for ourselves and the vain pursuits of power, pleasure, and prestige, but to live fully for God, and so lay our lives down in his service. Here, the low task in Jesus' name is glorious. What is the low task that we have today and this week and our lives that we can do in Jesus' name that will ultimately give him glory and have us share in his glory and power and strength and might, all in service. Right? The saints sometimes talk about washing the dishes. It's a pretty lowly task, especially for us, right? We have dishwashers, you know? Like what? But to do it in his name, and to do it in love for the people you live with. I won't go through the list. You know what I mean? Like, there, you know what the low task is. If you can forget yourself in doing that task in service of God, then you know what peace will come. Sometimes have a trouble forgetting ourselves. Yeah, and that's where our pain comes from. That's where our struggle comes from. That's where all the rest. Okay. Jesus is giving us his strength today. He has laid down his life for us. We can lay down our lives through and with and in him. And as we do, we experience everything we were made for. We experience the greatness of life by committing ourselves to humble service.